Dictionary makers have always faced a problem when it comes to deciding which new words to include. Now that dictionaries are moving online, we might think they'll have room to list all the words in a language without making distinctions. Will this mean it won't matter anymore which words are in the dictionary? Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has these thoughts.
There was a story in the New York Times recently about a man in Kansas City who's invented a prosthetic testicle for neutered dogs. He claims to have sold more than 25,000 of the devices worldwide under the name of Neuticles. You can be sure that every dictionary publisher clipped the story for their new words file, the file they pull out when it comes time to do a new edition, and they have to decide which new items to include. Those decisions used to be easier than they are now. Thanks to the media, the stream of new words is a lot thicker than it used to be, and they can catch on a lot more rapidly. It used to be that lexicographers wouldn't include any new words that hadn't established themselves in the language for 10 years or so before the dictionary appeared. But if you tried to stick to that 10-year criterion in a dictionary published in 1999, you'd wind up leaving out a lot of words that have clearly become part of the language, words like homepage, Gen X, Ebonics, downsizing, or hedge fund. And of course, the dictionary makers want to get words like these in there so their publicists can make a big deal of them by way of trying to show how up-to-date the new book is. The trouble is that it isn't easy to know which of the new words are going to have legs. Words may move into the language more quickly now, but we also have a lot more of these lexical supernovas, words that flash brightly for a season or so and then vanish into the darkness. How long is Frappuccino going to be with us, or going postal? Or take yada yada. You think anybody's going to be saying that 10 years from now? Probably not. TV words rarely persist after the show goes into reruns. Just try to remember the last time you heard anybody saying, you bet your bippy, or yabba dabba doo. Still, vogue words like these sometimes have surprising staying power. It's interesting that Gen X is still in circulation, particularly when 30-something has vanished, although maybe that just proves the point about the short life of words from TV shows. Of course, the fact that a word is passé doesn't necessarily mean that a dictionary shouldn't list it. You might want to include terms like Gulf War Syndrome or Soccer Mom, for example, if only because they're likely to have a certain historical interest for readers 10 years from now. But there are limits to this principle. How many decades are we going to have to be keeping track of death metal or kettle chip? Then again, maybe the whole exercise has an anachronistic cast to it. Somebody once described the dictionary as the book written by books. And certainly it's hard to think of any genre that's more soundly anchored in print culture. That's ostensibly the reason why dictionary makers have to make these choices, the limits of space of a print book, and the fact that it's going to be sitting on your shelf in a fixed form for the next 10 or 20 years. But dictionaries aren't necessarily printed books anymore, and once they move online, there seems to be less reason to limit their coverage. Some people have begun to think in terms of an online dictionary that will try to list every word that's used in English, every slang term, every scientific and technical term, every chemical compound and species name, every regionalism from every part of the English-speaking world, every acronym and bit of business jargon, every new music style, every new coffee flavor. You wouldn't even need human lexicographers to gather it all. You just send out crawlers to scoop up new words as they appear, then slap a definition on them and dump them all into a file on the web. It would be a bloated thing by print standards, but then size is no impediment on the web. The fact is that you could store the text of every English language dictionary ever written in about the same space that you'd need to store a couple of Marx Brothers movies. There's no question that a dictionary like this would have its uses. I'd like my spell checker to be able to consult it so that it didn't beep whenever I put down a word like browser or dancer size. On the other hand, there's something to be said for exercising a little discretion. Since the 18th century, people have looked to the dictionary to authorize words. Not to say that they're correct exactly, but at least that they're accepted elements of the common language. That's actually the main reason why dictionaries list common words like the and but and have. It's true that nobody ever has to look these words up. But once they're in there, we can claim that the dictionary is a comprehensive record of the language, so that the omissions have a certain significance. Not being in the dictionary ought to count for something. And when the next edition of your favorite dictionary appears, you want to be able to thump it down on the table and say, "Neuticles not there."
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.